The Truck and Driver podcast is sponsored by Fortune Tires, who manufacture high-quality, durable tires designed for operators who are looking for exceptional value across every application. Fortune Tires is proud to partner with International Tires, the exclusive distributor of their truck tires in the UK. For more info, visit internationaltires.com/fortune or call 0121 552 6888. Drive forward with Fortune Tires. Hello and welcome to the Truck and Driver podcast. I am Doogie Rankin and today with me is...
Matt Holland.
Hey, Matt.
Hey, how you doing?
Yeah, good, thanks, Matt. Yeah, thanks, Matt, who's been hosting the podcast regularly, talking to various people, various adventures, and so on and so forth. I've not really been about that much at all, really, despite being sort of editor-at-large at Truck and Driver. I've been out of the loop.
Yeah.
I think I'm 45. I need to go and do my driver's medical in October.
Oh, no.
I hope I pass.
Yeah.
Well, maybe not. It's very stringent, I've heard.
Yeah. Well, if it's anything like the medical I did when I did my bus test, I'm sure you'll be fine.
And very good.
She asked me what my height was, and I told her I'm this high, and that raised a smile. And
right, I think there's standards to be reached. The British lorry driver is a svelte individual.
Absolutely, bracing snakes, every single one of us.
Yeah, I need to go and do the podcast. No, I need. I'm doing the podcast.
Good grief! You are.
I'm doing the podcast. I need to go and do the medical.
Medical. Yes.
Yeah. So, you know, I'm 45. I'm thinking, am I having like a midlife crisis?
I don't know.
When you begin losing interest in everything that you're conventionally always interested in, I was like, yeah, wait a minute, you know. I was like, I'm really into lorries and cars and all that sort of stuff. That's my thing.
Yeah.
So I was like, right, I need to get back into things. I need to get back on social media and that wonderful world and see what's all going on out there. And furthermore, I've decided, I want to go driving trucks.
Yeah. Yeah, don't blame you. So you've been doing a fair bit of it then?
Yes. Well, what I decided to do, because I'd been driving demonstrators periodically. I was actually driving some of G&J Shuttleworth's own trucks as well from time to time, doing the milk tanker testing, but it was only like the way that demos work, you don't get them all that regularly. So I figured, you know what, to get back into lorries and make a bit of, have a change of scene. I've got work to pay me off for the summer. They put me on unpaid leave, so I'm free to go driving full time.
Right.
Well, I'm still working for the magazine, but I'm just going to do it on a freelance basis.
Right. But
nothing's changed at all, really, because I'm still writing. The things that I do are write articles, go to shows and events, find stuff to feature in the magazine.
Yeah,
and I do need to be more involved in what's the material that we're bringing together and the issues, the sort of themed aspects of things. I do need to get more involved with that again, because I've kind of fallen to the side a bit with that, with Andy being here as the editor now. If you don't know, listeners, we've got an editor for Truck and Driver who took over from me.
Yeah,
I am editor at large. So I am now. Yeah, it was very confusing for the HR department, because I was like, I'm going away. They're like, okay, an unpaid sabbatical. I'm like, yeah, okay. I says, but I am still working for the magazine. I'm not going anywhere.
Yeah.
That confused me. I said, I'm not going anywhere. I'm just going driving. I'm like,
yeah.
But yeah, I decided to do that and be honest and say, look, you don't need to pay me. Just pay me for the stuff that I do. And then that brought me to the consideration of, right, so I'm now going back to driving again full time, which is what I was doing in 2018 before I got this job.
Yeah. Who you been driving for then?
I did a week at Shuttleworth in the milk tankers there around the Easter. Just, I was at Easter. And I do really like the milk tanker stuff. The only problem is, for me, is they are in Morecambe, which is 155 miles away from my house.
Yeah.
So I had also put the feelers out to a couple of places, and Rocks Off Gravel are just 10 minutes from my house, and I've featured Scott's lorries have been in the magazine three times. They had a DAF XF space cab as an editor's choice. I did a road test of their 2019 Scania Next Gen manual.
Mm-hmm.
Really rare. And their Renault Range T, which they've still got the latter two in 2023, I think. So
it's a tag axle, isn't it, that Renault?
Yeah, it's a tag. Yeah, he's got five lorries, four of them are tags. He's got three Scanias, two Renaults, one of which is a mid-lift.
Yeah, because I did message you because I saw that yellow Renault down my manor recently with the fridge on, which I thought for a sand and gravel company, that's a slight curveball.
it's full time on that fridge work.
Right, right.
It's contracted to that. That's not all the company does. It does like a lot of landscaping.
Yeah.
And stuff for like out in building sites, new builds all the time, putting turf down and stuff. And the haulage company is another, the haulage side is another part of the business, but it also complements that side as well.
Right.
Yeah, it's kind of general haulage, so it's sort of standard sort of flat deck cut and cider stuff, a lot of wood and gravel and bags, heavy stuff.
Yeah.
It's good. So I do really enjoy the tanker work.
Yeah.
I think that's great, but if I'm out full time, it's going to be difficult when you get home on a Friday night or a Saturday morning, knowing that you've got to go away again on Sunday night.
Yeah, and you've got 150 miles of travel.
Yeah,
to and from work. That's a long way.
Yeah, so I'm going to go and do some milk tanker work as well.
Yeah,
but for the time being now, I am full time with Rocks Off Gravel.
Yeah,
I have got a 2020 bright yellow with purple trim Scania R540, which is it's nice, no complaints about that. It's got everything apart from an aircon pod, like a night cooler. That's the only thing it doesn't have spec wise, pretty much.
Right.
Yeah, aircon seat, coffee maker.
Oh, lovely.
Yeah, it's a nice bit of kit. So
you're just going to have to go a bit old school in the summer with your windows down and when you're parked up, perhaps.
Yeah, sunroof open for the lunch, and so it opens. We can get by with that sort of thing. It does get a bit uncomfortable when you're in a truck. I find particularly as truck stops are the worst.
Yeah.
At night, because all the trucks come in and the heat radiates into the ground,
yeah,
and it just radiates off the trucks. You know, you get 100 trucks sitting there, and it just the temperature gets up into the 30s,
especially if there's no air movement, it just sort of hangs about, doesn't it?
Yeah, we can tolerate that, it's all right, hardcore. But I've done sort of three, I did 2 days and then I did 4 days. And I'm doing 4 days again this week because it was a holiday.
Yeah.
Yeah, so it seems to be that it seems to be that most of the time I seem to get home every second night.
That's not so bad.
Yeah, it works. You go and pick something up and go and take it down to England, tip it the following morning, drive somewhere else, pick something up, drive it back up the road, then you're home.
Yeah.
Back out, tip it in the morning, pick something else up, back down to England.
No,
not like that all the time, but
no,
there's a pattern that sort of scenario will repeat fairly regularly, I would think. And that suits me.
Get
back into the world of trucks and what's going on, because I went to the Grampian Truck Show, which was fantastic.
Yeah, it looked it from what I saw.
Loads of really, really good trucks at that. Got a lot of phone numbers from it to follow up on.
Yeah.
For features in the magazine. Really pleased about that. Interesting venue as well, having everything inside.
Yeah.
Which isn't something you see very often. But the guys, the owners of the trucks and the organisers, they really pulled it off. They put together something Yeah, fantastic. And you did get people, there were people complaining that the downstairs, they had some trucks in like the car park downstairs.
Yeah.
Which was, it wasn't outside, but it wasn't like heated or anything. There were people complaining that it was too cold down there.
Right.
Yeah, like it's a car park. It's a car park.
An indoor car park, yeah.
In April in Scotland, you could have been outside and it could have been snowing.
Yeah,
there's no pleasing some people at all.
And I know a friend of mine was actually parked down there, and he said, I think there was a few complaints from others, but you couldn't get rigids or anything like that down there, so it had to be tractor units only that went down in that part.
Right. Aye, well, I mean, that's fair enough. I mean,
now he wasn't only, bothered at all being yeah. down there.
No, there's only so much space.
Yeah,
in the place as well, and there were some really nice trucks down there as well.
Yeah,
I complained that it was cold. The only downside to that event was, and it's not the fault of the organisers in any way. It was the like the Aberdeen, you know, exhibition centre, whatever it's called.
Yeah,
which is like the NEC or something. But the security were treating the attendees as if it was like a rock concert.
Right.
A rock concert or something. So you had families coming in with babies and buggies and like toddlers, and they were searching people's bags and taking fruit shoots out them and telling them they couldn't take them in.
Oh, flipping egg.
Mental. And It wasn't like there was alternatives to buy inside. So yeah. I know after these shows that the organisers and everybody all sits down and have a discussion about everything. And there definitely needs to be a discussion had about that to say, aye, no, you're not doing that.
Yeah.
Unfortunate, but it doesn't really put a dampener on what was a massive success. So congratulations to the folk involved with that managed to put it all together.
Yeah.
And so it was that the show season has kicked off and it's kicked off in style.
In style. Yeah.
Oh, I'm busy. Yeah, so now I'm busy. I'm back into the forefront of the world of trucks. Yeah. Because people are like, did you see this? Did you see that on Facebook? Did you see that? And I'm like, no, I never saw it. I've not looked in it for ages.
Yeah.
I need to force myself to go back onto Facebook and start posting stuff again.
Yeah. It can be a good world. It can.
Yeah.
Yeah, it can. You just need to use it correctly, really. So, but speaking of truck shows, you went to Truckfest at Lincoln, didn't you? Because I got sent a photo of you with my mate Jim. He sent me a picture of the two of you together. So I know you were there.
Yeah, that was at the DAF stand.
So how was Truckfest?
Yeah, it was good. Unfortunately, we could only go for the Sunday.
Yeah.
But also fortunately, we got invited to the Transport Association's annual get-together.
Yeah.
So I think this is a new thing for them. So it was for sort of the bosses of all the companies. The Transport Association is all family-run haulage firms. Anyway, you know, a lot of these guys there are people who've been in truck and driver before. And they had decided to put together something on the Saturday.
Right.
Which was the same weekend as Lincoln. It was Simon Wood, the PR from MAN, who put us onto it. And he said, would you like to come to this event? He says, that every haulier is bringing one truck, a modern, and some of them are also bringing a classic from the fleet as well. And I thought, yeah, why not? Because, again, it'll be interesting to go and meet some people, maybe get some follow-up material.
Yeah.
So that was at Silverstone on the Saturday. So I went to that. And, yeah, it was good. I met Duncan, the owner of the Owens liveried Atkinson Borderer Wrecker.
Yeah.
We got that truck photographed about 2 years ago anyway.
Yeah.
And yeah, I must have lost the notepad because I don't remember who owned it or anything about it. I just knew I had a photo shoot done of this Atkinson Wrecker, which I was holding on for the British issue, which is coming out in October, which comes out in September.
Right.
Yeah, so I met Duncan there, so I was able to go and get the details together for the Atkinson feature. And we also, yeah, it was a lot of nice trucks there. Is it DA and SA Ford?
Yes.
They had
from Shropshire Way somewhere.
Yeah. I think he's got 70 Volvos that work. And also he's got one DAF, which works, which is a sentimental thing because a DAF was his first lorry.
Right.
And to commemorate that, he has gone and got a DAF 2800.
Oh, lovely. Yeah.
And he had that at the Transport Association there. An early 2800 as well.
Right.
I haven't seen one quite this early before. The ones I've encountered are obviously the kind of facelift ones with the...
two badges. Is it with the DAF on one side, 28 on the other?
Yeah,
this is just with DAF across the grill, three big letters.
I think it is, because it had a Road Ranger gearbox in it.
Yeah.
And I had like a big two-spoke sort of thin steering wheel.
Yeah.
And it's like, I think it's like must be like 1975 or something, maybe.
Is it a UK one? Is it right-hand drive?
No, it's not. It's left-hand drive.
Right. So it's European import.
Yeah. He just got it because he'd said to him, he was like, you know, I've just got it because it's a really nice example. He's not really going to be using it for all that much.
Yeah.
So I decided, well, you know, why not just get a left-hand drive one instead?
Yeah.
Yeah, much easier. So let's see if I can find the photograph of this truck. Yeah, there it is. I think I actually sent some videos for it for social media. But yeah, it's got a big steel, it's got a proper wooden dash in it as well. You know that's not made of plastic, it's wood.
Yeah.
And that is, what reg is this thing? A V.
On a V.
It's a 1979.
Yeah. Because I think there's a Dutch importer brought several back from Turkey, I think it was, over the last sort of couple of years, because there was still some sort of kicking about out there.
Hmm.
So,
well, this one's got blue velour interior.
Oh, nice. Yeah.
Yeah, it's got good blue plastics and trim in it as well. I thought there was definitely a period where there were brown.
Yes.
Brown interiors, but this one's blue, and it looks.
Yeah.
You look at the interior of that 2800, the looks of it, in like the 70s, that was such a leap forward in so many ways for cab comfort.
Oh, absolutely.
And refinement. That's, you could sit behind the wheel of that today and you would be like, yeah, I can suss this out. This is tolerable. If somebody told you to go and drive it a couple of hours down the road, it'd be a pleasure to do so.
Yeah, it would have been nice, wouldn't it?
Yeah, I just love those twin round headlights on them.
Yeah.
Such a good looking lorry.
Absolutely.
Oh yeah, the Fords, they've also got an XG530 tag.
Yep.
Which we're going to do an article on that, can sort of do a bit of head-to-head, because the 2800's of sentimental value to them, and so is having the one DAF amongst all these Volvos. So
yeah,
we'll look and see how it gets on amongst the Volvos as well. So Transport Association was good. Weather was much nicer there than it was on Sunday. It was a bit chilly at Lincoln, but it was dry.
Yeah, that's good. And from what I gather as well, people weren't really having the problems this year with getting in and getting out, whereas last year was just a bit of an absolute nightmare, from what I gather, of people being turned away. People who paid for the weekend just couldn't come in and blah, blah, blah. But I think from what I've been told from my friends who were there, they didn't have them issues this year, which is good.
Yes. It seems to be the traffic management's been largely solved, aside from the fact that you are getting so many trucks going into the one place at one time.
Yeah.
A bit of delay can be inevitable, but that was, as far as I'm aware, that was all improved. And it's just vast. It's just, you can walk for ages in the one direction and there's just no end to it.
Wow.
And then you look across the side and you're like, well, look at all that over there as well. So in one day we got around and saw a lot of nice trucks, a lot of feature material to follow up on. So a really nice Mercedes Powerliner.
Yeah.
That had just been restored by a chap, I think David Atkinson, I think his name was. He's a Mercedes mechanic and he had just restored it, sort of, that was notable. Have you ever watched a thing on Netflix called Brassic?
I've heard of it, but I don't think I've ever seen it.
Yeah, it's all over a Renault Range T High now. It's an airbrush theme that the Scott brothers have put on it.
Yeah.
It's very impressive. company from Colsterworth.
Yeah.
What are their names again?
Hudson White.
Correct.
Yeah.
Hudson White, yeah, it's airbrushed front, back, sides with Brassic. And right. It looks really entertaining. One of the corner panels, I think, has even got a Bedford Rascal on it.
Oh, fantastic.
That makes it worth watching. Makes it worth watching in its own. And furthermore, Michelle Keegan's in it, which might interest quite a few people, who was in Corrie a few years ago and used to make appearances at Truckfest.
Yeah.
As a guest.
Speaking of Bedford Rascals, on a slight tangent, today, en route to me tipping, I actually followed a Vauxhall Rascal, which obviously is the British.
It might actually have been a Vauxhall Rascal. I think it was a K Reg, so it would have been on the Renault or the Brassic.
Yeah, it's a little H Reg little pickup.
Pickup one you saw.
Yeah, yeah.
Oh, even rarer. Yeah, that's.
Yeah.
There was a story with one of the. Those were designed in Japan for little Japanese people to drive them.
And yeah, Suzuki had one, didn't they?
Yeah, yeah. It's based Swift? On. Yeah. Yeah, they're based on the same kind of platform, Suzuki.
Yeah.
It may originate from Suzuki directly, the Rascal. But there was two rather. Basically two big fat motoring journalists got into this Bedford Rascal pickup, and because there's no weight in the back whatsoever, when they went to do an emergency stop in it, it did what would you call that in your bike when you slam the brakes on? An endo. It did an endo. When you slam the brakes on, it would lift the back wheels right off the ground before dropping back to their ground again if you had a couple of big guys in the front of it.
Brilliant. I have also seen a video of somebody who's put a Hayabusa engine in one as well, which is just insane, absolutely insane. And, they even had camper vans, didn't they, which must have been so small.
Yeah, you can get a camper van Bedford Rascal as well. Really cool.
But a friend of mine did have one. He said it was just so unstable to drive. Mm. Just the height of comedy.
Yeah, I would think if you put some big fat if you got some big fat tires on it, that might help it a bit.
Yeah, possibly.
I don't know what engine wise you can know. The Hayabusa engine is like one of crazy conversions, but I think it's fairly viable. There was a little. Not very well known hot hatch back in the 80s and early 90s, which was the Suzuki Swift GTI 16 valve. It was a 1.3 twin cam 16 valve, obviously 100 horsepower, and it was basically just a tin can. These things were flying machines. It's such a good engine.
Yeah.
And I believe that engine, if you can find one, of course, because there were a lot of them there.
Yeah,
if you could find one of them, put one of those engines in a Bedford Rascal, then you've got like a flying machine. That would be a really cool camper van.
Oh yeah, that'd be good fun.
Somebody do that.
Yeah,
but going back to Truckfest, a lot of decent, very decent stuff there that we're going to be following up on feature wise. Cuts Transport, we're going to go and see those guys. What a selection of trucks they had. I think they've got. Example, high spec examples of everything, apart from maybe a Mercedes is the only one they didn't have.
Is that company from Lincolnshire, the blue?
With the
orange bit on the front as well.
Yeah, they've got V8s, FH16s, the D38 MANs, 570 Ivecos, 530 DAF, everything basically. Yeah, nice guys as well. Three brothers and a sister to set the company up. So we're going to go and see them.
Yeah.
Right, what else did we check out? Had a look. I tell you, out of all the truck manufacturers in general at the moment and what's going on, Volvo are certainly in a bit of a purple patch, it would seem.
Yeah.
I would say right now, out of all of them, Volvo are the number one at the moment. That aero. The new aero cab, the aerodynamic front end, what a success that's been for them.
Yeah.
I don't know about you, but I'm seeing them everywhere.
Yeah, and I know a local haulier to me took an order of 5 last year, and straight away the fuel was just, I think, nearly 2 to the gallon better than the rest of the fleet. So that's it. They are now, they've ordered a load more, and they're just going to go 100% Volvo now.
Yeah, well, the aero is, I think it's like $4,000 more to have the aero front end on it. Now, the aerodynamic That only works if you're pulling a trailer which matches the truck. So you need like a fridge or, you know, a kind of level cut inside or, you know, maybe even like a decker with a, you know, it's got, something which the aerodynamics can complement. But having said that, Volvo spent, you know, millions in developing this. Engineers have spent countless hours optimizing this new aerodynamic package to cut through the air. And I do wonder, that a substantial amount of the sales for this truck are purely because people think it looks cool.
That's possibly.
Purely. Yeah, there was one there with a bull bar on it.
Right.
Because I think at the very beginning, I think like Volvo were like, no, you're not supposed to do this. This is
like, you're defeating the idea.
we don't care. We just like it. There's a light bar up here, light bar there, bull bar. Yeah.
sun visor, but I still think any truck without a sun visor looks bad. They need a sun visor.
I think if you're worried about the fuel economy differential between having a sun visor and not, you've gone too far.
It'd be interesting to know what the difference is, how much difference it actually makes. Same with mirrors and mirror cam.
I think it all comes down to, it all has to come together as a whole package. If you don't do all of it, then you're not going to get the benefit of one individual thing.
Yeah.
So if you're going to go full on, then you would need to do the nothing else stuck to the truck, the mirror cams, no sun visor.
Yeah.
You have to do everything. If you start unticking one or two things and it just, you don't see kind of any of it. I mean, the aero, they are kind of, you were hearing sort of fuel economy figures, you know, in the teens on some jobs on these. Unthinkable. So a few years ago, the turbo compound engines seem to have bedded in well as well.
Yeah.
And there was some concerns around that when they first came out because it's extra technology, but they don't seem to be having any problems with it. And you can tell if a Volvo 460 or 500 is a turbo compound. If you ever look at the side of the little badge, it will say iSave. If it says iSave on it, then it's a turbo compound.
Right.
And if it says Euro 6, then it's a conventional 460 or 500.
Right.
Which obviously, because the turbo compounds, it's designed for, you're racking up miles in the motorway. If you're running back and forth to a concrete plant all day or in and out of forest, up and down the gearbox, then there's no point in you having the turbo compound because that's not what it's designed for. Volvo made a lot of effort to make trucks which are optimized for so many different applications because you don't just have that. You look across the range and you've got the 540 dual clutch, which is, you know, kind of renowned as one of the very best 13 litres you can get. And then, of course, you've got the new FH16 range coming out now with the 780.
Yeah.
Scania sell a lot of V8s in different configurations. You hardly ever see the 530 V8. I think that's more of a European thing.
Yeah.
For guys that are sort of want a V8 just to run at 40 tons, I just give it the 530. But you do see in the UK a lot of 590s and a lot of 660s.
Yeah.
But you rarely ever see Volvos. The 750, you never saw a 550 or a 650, really. Much rarer in comparison.
Yeah, true.
I know that the 550 was the one that you could get with a manual gearbox on it a few years back. So there were a handful of them sold, but I've not seen one for a good long while.
Yeah, wonder whether there's still any of them about.
Yeah, they will be in the UK. They're just not many. They'll just be floating about.
Yeah, hopefully.
You probably don't go that far. Eh? Probably in timber somewhere.
Yeah, more than likely. But I actually did actually get a drive in a Volvo Aero with mirror cam. The same weekend as Truckfest. So that was my first experience of Volvo's system, which was nice.
Did you get to drive in the dark?
No, unfortunately, just in the day. But it was also the first time driving a left-hand drive truck for about 6 years or so, I suppose, something like that.
How long did it take you to not be thinking you're driving a left-hand drive truck all the time?
Especially as it was through the small... I made the mistake of thinking, I'm not in Suffolk now, so anything that's an A road will be fine. But, of course, Kent also has some rather small A roads with large hedges and things like that. So left-hand drive with mirror cam for the first time in 6 years on an A road, I thought it would be fine, but it was a little bit unnerving in a few spots. But soon settled into it, you know, and it was... I found their mirror cam really good. And the fact that they've also got the night mode, presumably like the others who've got it will adapt that you know, that system onto theirs as well and so on and so forth.
Yeah, but the night mode, it's designed for when it's like pitch dark, because the mirror cams do kind of, they work not too bad in the dark. The Volvo system... Yeah, you just have a switch on it and then it goes boom and it really brightens everything up. If you're driving along the road with it on, you'll find that you probably have to switch it off again.
Okay.
It makes colours go crazy. You get a lot of reds and greens and things. It's curious. Maybe you won't notice if you're colourblind.
Yeah.
But I had a week with the Volvo mirror cams. They've also got a button where you can move them in and out.
Okay.
So you can press a button and it folds them in.
Yeah.
Automatically.
And it was so quiet as well. I suppose it's just going to be how it advances. You know, they're going to get quieter and quieter. But it just, it was really nice to drive. It really, really was. And the whole media system, once it got that working and whatnot, it was, really good sound system. Very, very enjoyable drive, really was.
And what else have they got? They've got their XXL cab coming as well.
Yeah,
that's out now, so you can have an even bigger cab should you wish. So yeah, I mean, there's a plethora of options there. So yeah, Volvo are doing really well.
Yeah.
Now their Swedish rivals, on the other hand, are going through a bit of a period of transition.
Have anybody
spoken to you and encountered problems with this new dashboard that they've got, the smart dash?
No.
Do you know about it?
No, I don't.
You know, there's these new laws, these general safety regulations that are coming in. Everything's got to have a digital dash sort of in it now. So it can display messages and warnings and stuff. You can't have a set of mechanical dials anymore.
Right, brilliant.
Which pretty much everybody has moved away from anyway.
Yeah.
But Scania, you'll be familiar with the dash when it's got the radio and all the heating controls below it.
Yeah.
But they've now got two digital screens, but they've had a lot of bother with them because it seems that Volkswagen Group have set up a whole division to make this new system from the ground up.
Right.
Instead of using the sort of suppliers that make these things. And they've had a lot of problems with it. And the trucks have gone into service and people are having a lot of problems with the dash going black and causing issues. There's people, when I've spoken about it, and I didn't realise until actually I was looking one the other day, were saying that there's no functions and buttons, but that's not true. Your diff lock and your air dump, your weight transfer, axle lift buttons, they're still there just as before. It's the same buttons, but they're hidden down underneath the indicator stock on the dash. Right. You can't see them.
Right, okay.
And it's still got like a demist button and things, but all your heating and ventilation controls, aside from that, are in the screen.
Right.
It's very heavily dependent on that screen and it keeps some blacking out while they sort out. It's in the process of being updated. They will sort it out, but they're having a little bit of bother with it at the moment.
Teething issues.
Yeah, teething issues. The super issue is having a few teething issues as well. A few of them are going pop.
Really?
It's the way of the world with all this new technology all these companies are trying to introduce all the time. It's inevitable. Scania seem to be quite notorious for clutches going at 400,000 kilometres as well. It's not the clutch, it's the thrust bearing.
Right.
Which goes on them. That collapses, so if you've got one that's around 400,000 that has never been done, apparently it's well worth looking into getting the clutch done preemptively on them before something happens.
Before it goes wrong on the side of the road and costs you a lot of money.
Yeah. Well, I saw. Right. Yeah, well, it's a Scania I'm driving now, but it's a 2020, so 2020 540, so it's not the super engine, and I don't have the smart dash.
Right. That's right, and keep it simple.
Yeah, it's only 337,000 kilometres, though, so we need to look at that clutch.
Yeah, get it looked at sooner rather than later.
Yeah, good lorry, though. I'm enjoying driving it.
Excellent.
I've been working on trying to get my MPG up this week a bit by driving more eco-friendly when I've had the time to go and do it. And I managed to get up to 10 MPG for the week today, courtesy of a light load that I had coming north from Accrington, which I had to rope and sheet.
Yay. How did that go?
Thankfully, one of the guys at Earl Transport, or Earl, was able to help me with the roping and sheeting. What had happened was I had a flatbed trailer, went and delivered a load of timber to Oldham, backload, back up, go to Earl Transport at Accrington. So the address I've got in the bit of paper, I'm like, okay. Looked up on Google Maps, Street View, looked at the satellite, I'm like, okay, that's an industrial estate. Those trucks there, let's go there. Goes to their security guard in the gatehouse. Nah, mate. Nah, it's not here. I'll give you the correct postcode for where it is. It's up the road there. So I'm like, what? I was like, this is definitely the address I've got. Yeah, no, it's not here. Okay, back out. Drove 3 miles up the road. And again, as I look on maps, I'm like, yeah, there's a load of, like, there's lorries and there's a load of buses and everything. So that must be in there. Drives into this place. It's like a load of coaches and some other industrial stuff. And I'm like, I'm looking for transport. Nah, mate, it's not here. I'm like, what? The security guard, that guy down the road told me. He said, no, mate, it's not. It's about a mile back down the road there. They go and see the car wash turning right there. And then I was looking in the place and I'm like, it was packed with cars and stuff. And I'm like, how am I going to get out of here?
Yeah.
So thankfully there was a Yodel Arctic, which he went away. And I couldn't even get the thing spun right round. I had to go and put the head in the top of somebody's industrial door and then reverse it back and got it back out again. And then I got into Earl Transport and I get there and I was thinking as well, I was looking at the place that I was going to in Glasgow and it's a camping equipment supplier.
Yeah.
And I'm thinking, camping equipment? And I'm thinking, what is a camping equipment supplier going to want to get that's going to go on a flat trailer?
Caravan.
I suppose. What is it in bulk I'm getting here? Because looking at the reviews and everything, this is like a shop that sells camping supplies. I'm thinking this is palletized freight all day long.
Yeah.
So the lovely guy, I didn't get his name, the guy at Earl comes out, he's like, hello, and says, I'm in for a load. He says, mate, he says, it's 10 pallets. And he said, opens the curtains up, yeah, camping equipment. It's like furniture and tents and a load of electrical stuff.
Oh, good.
Like lights and, I don't know, like something like stoves and stuff.
Yeah.
I was like, great. So the trailer I've got has got a sheet with it.
Yeah.
I said, what are you going to do? I was like, well, we're going to have to load it. And I was thinking to myself, I looked at it and I was like, nah, it's... So you couldn't even get away with chucking ratchet straps over the top of the pallet. So it was all like soft cardboard boxes.
Yeah.
So I had to get the sheet out, which was massive. it was a massive sheet. So we had to unfold that and then heave it over the top of the load. We actually had to use the forklift to go and get the thing over the top.
Yeah.
I don't know how... Guys did all this back in the day with some of the bigger loads. Like, there must have been a lot of skill involved. Well, there is. There's no two ways about it. It's an art form.
Yeah.
It takes years to master. So we got the sheet on, and thankfully he was like an expert with dolly knots.
Yeah.
And I'm like, right, you loop that there, and you do a second loop, and then you do a... And I'm trying to remember even how to do it. And then he was like showing me, but the thing is, I'm left-handed.
Right, okay.
That made it more complex. So it ended up that... I'd gone and lifted the thing over the top, and he ended up doing most of the dolly knots on it.
Right.
And then we folded it up, loads at the front, folded it up, loads at the back, tucked it all under, and then I just put ratchet straps over the front and back of it to hold those bits down.
Yep.
And, yeah, it was like, there was a little bit of flappiness at the sides, but it's not because, I don't know how you could have got it any tighter than that, really, what was on it.
Yeah.
Someday we'd have been able to do it, but as it was, yeah, it didn't fall off. I got it all the way back from Accrington to the yard.
That's all that matters.
Yeah, well, I phoned the company. I was like, I'll be with you about 3:30. And they're like, we finish. We shut the doors at like 4:00. And I was like, you're not going to get this. Nah, I'm not wanting it. I'm not wanting it. Bring it tomorrow.
Yeah.
So I was like, okay, fair enough. So the good thing was we got it back to the yard so we could take it off the trailer and get all the sheet stored away again. And yeah, the 10 pallets are now in a carton cider. Perfect. To go tomorrow. So yeah, it's a bit of a lie-in because that company doesn't start till 9:00 in the morning.
Lovely. That was
so that's good. Yes, yeah, so, I mean, it's nice to latterly on trucking driver and my job working from home. I've just been like sitting in the house and I'm not like motivated enough to get stuff done like preemptively, but also I've realised that my lack of motivation and everything is situational. If I change the situation, I am motivated and I am getting stuff done.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I am out driving, dear listeners and readers of Trucking Driver, but I'm also busier than ever with a magazine.
Yeah.
Which is good. Which that's the whole point of all of this. So if you see a yellow Scania R065OFF, that's me.
Even got a private plate.
Yeah, a good private plate, that.
Yeah. Very good.
Yeah, so yeah, so that's everything I've been up to. What about yourself? How have you been doing? What you've been driving and so on and so forth?
Well, pretty much the usual stuff, although over the bank holiday weekend or Easter weekend, because I don't work in a bank, I worked Good Friday and Easter Monday on a fridge for a local haulier called Nick Brown.
Yeah. Who does bank holidays and transport?
Exactly. None of us.
Tippers. That's only because it's a building trade. Yeah. So,
Well, and Chapman's, who I regularly work for, they do bank holidays as well. So, but I didn't want to sit about for 4 days twiddling my thumbs. So,
no, deal with that. What were you driving?
Yeah. So, I was driving an FH. Now you've got me thinking. It was an earlier FH.
A version 4, then, would it be?
It's a version 4, FH4. Yeah. Can't remember what year it was now. 500. I think, hold on well together, though. Fridge out of Felixstowe Docks on Good Friday to Lidl's at Peterborough.
Uh-huh.
So it's self-tip there, reload empty pallets or partial reload of empty pallets. Then I had to go to the new Lidl's at Houghton Regis, which is ginormous. I don't think I've ever seen an RDC as big.
Oh, it's an RDC? I thought you meant a supermarket. Yeah.
No.
Really?
This RDC is big.
Where
really,
is it?
Really, really big. Houghton Regis, so sort of like Luton, Bedford area.
Oh, well, that explains M1. It, isn't it? It's going to be service in London.
Yeah, exactly. It's big. So anyway, I got in there because I was collecting empty flour trolleys to go back to Holland. The lady sort of, she didn't really explain very well where I needed to be or give me a phone number or anything. So anyway, eventually I managed to, I gave up and put it on a bay just as another chap came round and said, oh, they've given you that bay, they've given me that bay. So I said, well, I'll move. And I walked into the warehouse at that point, found a guy. He went off and found someone else, said, apparently, mate, 3 other trucks have been in, cleared out all the empty trolleys, so there's nothing for you to pick up, so you can go home. So, that'll do. So, back to Felixstowe.
I take it he'll get paid for that just the same then.
He'll get paid for that. It's a wasted journey. It's not his, it's not my fault or his fault. So, they'll have to pay.
Good.
Yeah. And then, drop that one. Then on the Easter Monday, it was a trailer out of Harwich for Bicester. It was, I think it was DHL's. But there's some, I think Gregory's have won the contract from DHL. There's a bit of a crossover. I can't quite remember exactly how it all works, but it was a full load of Cadbury's fruit and nut chocolate bars, bearing in mind, Bicester's, what, an hour from Bourneville, and they had come in from Poland. So,
yeah, it's ridiculous.
Yeah, it's a bit crazy, isn't it?
Huge factory there, aren't they? Yeah.
Yeah, they have, yeah. And funny enough, many, many years ago, it wouldn't have been the same factory, I wouldn't have thought, but when Milky Way were making their magic stars, they were manufactured in Poland as well, because Kepsto Freight used to reload them on their way back from Russia to the UK. But when I got to DHLs, the chap said, oh, they're a bit health and safety conscious. You've got to have your hi-vis done up. You've got to do this, got to do that, blah, blah, blah. So, yeah, no problems. So I did all of that, got the bay, went and sat down with a coffee and bumped into a friend of mine called Terry Gilbert, who we then sat there for the entire 45 minutes or so talking diesel, which was fantastic, to the point that the chap actually came out of his office with my paperwork and the disc and my keys and everything, so I could actually go, because we'd just been sat there talking. Well, I had no idea that I had a green light. It was, most enjoyable 45 minutes sat there.
It's always nice when you catch up with somebody out in the road like that. Yeah, fantastic.
Mm. Yeah, exactly. So, yeah, other than that, same old on the sawdust and shavings. But also, yeah, the bank holiday, the May bank holiday, I didn't go to Lincoln because I went to Fredfest, which was Fred Parker's birthday gathering, basically, down at his place in Kent. I didn't really know about it until fairly near the time when I got invited by a couple of friends, Trev and Jody Roll. So I dropped Fred a message. She's like, yeah, come on down. So that's when I spoke to my mate Richard at Fleetwood just to see if he wanted to go. And he said, well, I'm a bit busy, but my truck's free if you want to take that down there. So, yeah, I took his aero down there. There's about 50 or so trucks, I think. It was really, really lovely. There's obviously no pressure. You know, there was no trophies or anything like that. There's a burger van, there's a mobile bar, a DJ, and just a whole load of trucks in a field. So talking nonsense, having a load of beers, a little bit of a light show, and that was about it, really. And the Richard's Aero was really well received because it's mostly colour coded. It's all silver and like dark, real dark sort of grey. I don't know if it's anthracite grey or what, but it does look really, really nice. When you've got all the plastics painted, you know, they really look the part. So that was a wonderful little weekend away. And then, as it turned out, completely off the subject of trucks, it turned out that a mate of mine from Trans Am was getting married in secret on the Sunday. So another mate of mine who lives in Kent, who told me about it, said, well, you can stay around mine, you know, we'll go to his wedding reception. And so that was turned into a lovely weekend, really.
Ah, good stuff. Yeah. It's nice. Really good.
And just now looking at the calendar sort of ongoing, like I say, the truck show season's well and truly kicked off, and it's just, there's so much to be done. I'm off to Kelsall this year for the first time. I've got the time off. Yeah, obviously we've got the CBRTC show at Gaydon in June, and then just on from there, really. It's just...
Yeah, I'll have to go. Yeah, I'm going to Kelsall this year. Yeah, I'll have to sort that out. Mm-hmm. No, I don't need to sort out. I could just turn up. I could maybe take the truck, actually.
Yeah, maybe. Yeah, I'm going to be camping there for the weekend. So, yeah, I've never been. I'm really looking forward to it because I've wanted to do it for a long time.
Oh, yeah, it's epic. Kelsall's fantastic. It's just so much unusual trucks there, especially British stuff. A real treat.
Yeah.
If you like your ERFs.
Yeah, the biggest gathering of ERFs in the country, isn't it?
Yeah. Biggest gathering of ERFs on the planet, I guess, basically.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I would say so, yeah. Yeah, without a doubt. So, yeah, really looking forward to that. That'll soon be here, no doubt.
Because you are a qualified CPC...
Instructor,
yeah. Because I need 35 hours of CPC, and I'm like strongly considering just getting my ADR again.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, well, who I work for have ADR courses, usually one a month, every month. Mm-hmm. So that can be done in Norwich, yeah.
Yeah, that's worth remembering, folks. You can get your ADR.
You get something for it. That's my answer's always been. Yeah. If you do your ADR and your tanks, that's 4 days out of your five, because you never know what's around the corner. You might have no interest in doing hazardous work, but your circumstances might change at home, at work, and it's better to have and not need.
Yeah, if you've got to go and sit and do 35 hours sitting there, you might as well make a bit of effort in and get a qualification at the end of it.
Yeah.
That might come in, might just come in handy. There's companies that might like that maybe never do any ADR stuff, just handy to have somebody there that can do it just in case.
Yes.
A lot of it can just be like pallets of engine oil and stuff, just like retail stuff. It's not like anything
battery, limited quantities and batteries as well. You know,
it's not anything different to your sort of general sort of normal haulage stuff. So I think I will go and I'll have to go and get my EDR organised as well. Anybody listening has any suggestions, recommendations for CPC courses? I know somebody that will be in touch about it.
Yeah.
For sure.
Come down to Norwich and do an ADR in Norwich for the week.
Yeah, probably going to do that, I think. Probably have to wait until I'm back working for the magazine and I'm on salary again.
And you could even go the whole hog for vanity and get your class 1 and class 7 at the same time.
Right.
Because I can teach class 7 and Tim, who works there, can teach class 1.
So I can get radioactive and explosives.
And explosives, yep.
Yay.
Yeah, why not? Because you never know.
Yeah. Why wasn't I told this truck was carrying explosives?
Nitro Manite.
Nitro Manite. 10,000 gallons of Nitro Manite.
Nitro Manite.
That's a Class D explosive.
Oh, fantastic. I might have to go and watch that now.
I was thinking, Convoy's been done as an airbrush theme on trucks a few times.
Yep.
I was thinking about a couple of good airbrush themes. I've got two airbrush themes I want to see on a truck.
Yeah.
I'm just putting it out there. Every Which Way But Loose and Stroke Any Which Way You Can. Clint Eastwood with Clyde the Ape.
Yeah.
Ma with a Shotgun and the Black Widows. That would be a fantastic airbrush theme.
Yeah, definitely. And I should also say, obviously, there's been the Convoy theme on my friend Simon Nolliff's scooter as well, which was in the magazine a few years ago.
Yeah,
complete with the rubber duck on the front. The rubber duck you get from Holland, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, brilliant.
Yeah. Now, my other airbrush theme that I want to suggest is a left-field one, but I still think it would be fantastic.
Yeah.
Hello, hello. The British sitcom. You know, the French accents. Yeah, and
that would have to be on a Renault.
Yeah, and Herr Flick. No, well, it could be on an MAN or a Mercedes, but yeah,
Renault. It could be, I suppose, yeah.
I think it has to be that with Herr Flick and General von Klinkerhoffen. He's Yvette. He's waitress and that, is it? Yeah, that would be a fantastic airbrush theme on a truck. So just putting it out there. Hopefully someday who's got the money.
See that Lincoln next year.
Yeah, I want to see a low, a low, and every which way but cat, any which way you can, stroke every which way but loose.
Yeah,
Lincoln next year. Not all in the same truck. That would be a bit crowded.
No.
Maybe
no, just two.
Maybe if
two
you had a
or three.
Yeah, well, maybe, yeah. Maybe if you had like a rigid sort of drawbar combination with box trailers on it, you'd get all that on there.
Yeah, demountables. That's what you need.
Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. A series of demountables. Yeah.
Hi, Dale. Right. Well, yeah. I think that wraps this one up.
Yes, mate.
Yeah, I am back out driving full time again.
Yeah.
So, yeah, doing me good. Stop me being such a lazy sod.
Cool.
And out.
Yeah, I'd love to hear.
Getting stuff done.
Lovely.
Moving important things such as timber and gravel from one point to another, keeping the economy going.
Key workers.
Cool. Well, thanks very much for that, Matt. Thanks.
Most enjoyable.
Thanks, everybody, for tuning in. We shall be back again with you soon. Take care. Thanks.
Lovely. Cheers.
Bye.
Thanks for listening to the Truck and Driver podcast, sponsored by Fortune Tyres. Fortune Tyres and International Tyres, bringing you innovation and reliability to support your operation. Learn more at internationaltyres.com/fortune or call 0121 552 6888. Drive forward with Fortune Tyres.